Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Hello and welcome to Watchmen on the Wall. Amen. This is Tim, the overseer. Amen. We're just actually awaiting the brother to come on the line. Amen. In the meantime, amen, we're probably going to go ahead and just get started. I'm quite sure that brother's going to chime in here any moment. All glory be to the Most High. It is good to be back. Amen. What I call the house of the Lord. Amen. The reason why I say the house of the Lord, because the Bible says, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Amen. So it don't matter if it's just two or three. Amen. We are grateful to be here. We're grateful to share the Most High's word to you. Amen. However many listeners are listening, we are grateful. We are thankful. We are thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful for the Chaos Talk Radio team for this opportunity and for being available and to for being there for us, amen, to minister to the world, amen. So, amen, without further ado, I want to go ahead and get started, amen. Again, hopefully, Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar, will be on the line with us shortly, amen. So, with that being said, I'm going to, amen, we're just going to talk about salvation. Amen to the brother, come on the line. Amen. Again, hopefully he'll be on the line soon. Hopefully everyone week is doing good. Amen. We are still maintaining. We're praying for people around the world. Most of all, we're praying for salvation. We want deliverance. Amen. We want as many people to come into salvation before it is too late. We know that the King is coming. Amen. But guess what? Amen. The King is coming back to get the church. Amen. Before the Great Tribulation, and we know that the Great Tribulation, amen, is possibly right around the corner. Amen. We know that it is sometime in the near future. All we're trying to do is just get you prepared for the Great Tribulation. We want you to become saved to make sure that you are good to go when Christ comes back. Amen. Now, we know that the Word says, amen, to watch. That is our job. We are to watch for the return of Christ. We are not to ignore this, amen. We're not to be so caught up into this world or to fall so in love with this world that we are forgetting that we are just pilgrims passing through a barren land, amen. Well, this is a temporary place for us, amen. Heaven is our home. Heaven is my home, and I can't wait to go there. I can't wait to be in heaven for all eternity with my Lord and Savior. I cannot wait to serve him for all eternity and to walk on the streets of gold. Amen. I was just sharing with my wife the other day, and I'm going to share a testimony here in just a few minutes, but I was just sharing with my wife. I said, man, I can't wait till we go to heaven and we just be walking on the streets of gold. Amen. I am so grateful, amen, for this life, amen, and this opportunity. Amen. Give me one brief moment. Amen. give me one moment. All right. Amen. Amen. So as I was saying, amen, I just can't wait. I mean, I think about heaven all the time. Every single day, they go by that I don't think about the return of Christ. Amen. Because that is just where we are. Amen. We should keep our mind stayed on the Most High God. Amen. We are grateful for life and life abundant. Amen. We're grateful for this opportunity. Amen. So I want to talk about some things today. Amen. Because I know that a lot of people, not a lot of people, but you know, you hear things about, amen, the church won't be gathered together before before the Great Tribulation. Amen. I know that we've stressed through scripture, we stress, amen, just a lot of our shows and just talking that the church won't be here because God loves Israel. See, that's what people have to realize, is that God loves you. See, most people don't even realize what the tribulation is for. Amen. The tribulation is not for the saints. Amen. Dr. Darius, I knew you were going to come on the line.
So I hear you. Keep on going. Keep on going.
Amen. I can hear you, Doctor. Amen. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. So I just want to share a scripture. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. Give him a praise. I got to give him a praise. I got to share this testimony. after I share my testimony, I'm going to allow the brother to come on. I know he won't go ahead and get started. I know he probably won't say a prayer before we get into it. But I want to share this testimony. This was a blessing. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to say it was a blessing. And I thought I'd share it with you. At first, you're probably like, well, how is that a blessing? But you know what? No matter what happens in life, a lot of times we got to count our blessings. Amen. Amen. So the other day, and I'm trying to, it was Tuesday morning. It was just yesterday morning. I was asleep. Amen. Early in the morning, my wife got a phone call from her sister. And my wife had ran to the room and told me that she had to go because her mama and the grandkids my mother-in-law had been involved in a car accident. I was like, oh, my goodness. And so, amen. So nothing wasn't said. So you know, amen, when it's not said, you know, you never know what to think. Amen. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, okay, you know, just a little fender bender. You know, granny ain't going to do that much. Amen. But you just never know what people like in the world. Amen. So long story short, amen, I finally make it up to the hospital with my wife and her sisters. Amen. I get there, amen, and we see, and they announce that everything is okay. The kids are okay. Amen. My mother-in-law's okay. She's just a little bruised up. One of the boys had a concussion, but he was okay, man. They're up walking around eating, watching TV, doing what kids do. So that's a blessing. All glory be to the Most High.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. But the shock came, amen, when after my mother-in-law, she was sitting there for a while in the wheelchair. Amen. And she had begun to announce, this was like some time after she'd been sitting there, she began to share with me what happened. And I'm thinking that it was, you know, maybe her and somebody else, but it was just her involved in the accident. Amen. But when she began to tell me what happened, I couldn't do nothing but give God the praise. Because, amen, when I tell you that the devil always means things for bad, but God always means it for good. And we couldn't do nothing but give God the praise and the glory. Amen. I really do mean that because, amen, what she told
praise
me was just a
God.
Shock.
Praise God.
I was not a word. Amen, doctor. When I say praise God, because, amen, when I tell you that the king stood up and said, death behave, amen. She had told
amen.
Me that the car had locked up. Amen. She didn't know what had happened. But the car locked up, and the back tire, one of the rear tires, blew out, and she lost control, and the car flipped. Now, I didn't know this before she started telling, so my eyes is big, like, amen, like baseball. I couldn't believe what she was saying, because you got to remember, amen, this is a mature age lady, amen. She's like about, I believe, 75 years old. The car flipped. With her and the grandkids, and one of the grandboys, they always say he has a bad habit of not putting his belt on. And my sister-in-law said that when they got the call, she said that's the only thing she was just so concerned that he put on his seatbelt. And that morning, this is how you know that God is real. This is how you know that the spirit, the angels,
yes, he's
guarding angels are real. God is real. The Holy Spirit is real. They said that morning that child put on that seatbelt. The car was flipping, and watch this, flipped over the overpass. Now, this is a shock to me. I know it's got to be a shock to you, but I was like, oh, my God, because when she was telling me, I was just looking at it like, I just can't believe. I know she wouldn't joke about nothing like this, but we're in the emergency room. I said, wait a minute, did I hear you right? You said the car flipped, and y'all flipped over the overpass? She said, yeah, and they landed. Now, watch this, they landed in the street right there by the stoplight.
Lord,
when traffic comes, I said, Lord, now you talk about God was all.
Miracle.
See, God always know what's going to happen before it happens. So
yes.
God already had the angels prepared. God had already prepared the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
He had
yes,
made
sir.
The way that child, before they even left home, to put on his seatbelt. God already knew. And as they was going down the freeway, and as God already knew what was going on. Well, he calls the angels, the Holy Spirit, just to be all in that situation. When the car locked
yes,
up and began to flip, God already knew what was going on the edge. So he had stopped traffic. But what I tell you, God is good. Man,
good.
I could not believe. Now, when I sit there and tell you, now, if you see the car was pretty banged up. The roof was smashed in. And the side where the passenger side was a blessing about was on the passenger side, because that person probably would have been pretty messed up or barely made it. Probably wouldn't even made it. Now watch this. If the reason why I say it was a miracle and it was amazing to me, because if you had seen all three of them, you would have never believed that there had been a car accident with a car flip and went over an overpass. When I tell you that was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm still in shock. I was telling my wife when we were driving away from her, I said, I'm still in shock from what your mother just told me about what happened. Because if you looked at any of them, none of them was bleeding, no scratches, nowhere. The back window of the car was smashed up. The car was total lost. We already know the car was total. And I'm just in disbelief. I said, God, I know you're God. That's why I can't tell you, people can't tell me nothing.
Nothing.
About there's not a God. Man, there is a God. I know
there is a God.
There's a God. Amen, doctor. And I know one day we're going to get to see him. We're going to get to be with him. But I had to share that story. I had to share that testimony because it is still a shock to me.
Amen.
Now, she's still bruised up a little bit. She's still sore, which the doctor said that's normal. But they'll be fine. The kids are fine. The kids are walking around. I'm telling you, just amazing. I got
amazing.
Give all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yes, sir.
God
yes, sir.
Good. Man, I'm telling you, God is good all the time, and all the time God is
all
good.
The time.
Doctor, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut into it, but Doctor, I had to share that. But go ahead, and I got a few scriptures to share tonight. And I'm gonna get out your way. I found something tonight, but I want to share with you all. But go ahead, Doctor.
All right. Oh, we're gonna have prayer, and Brother, I'm gonna turn it right back over to you when I have prayer. So you can get your message in. Amen. You might have to go a little early,
amen.
So I'm going to get you. You're going to have prayer right now. Father, we come to you right now, thanking you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We're calling on your rain right now. We're calling on it because there's no other name given among heavens, among men, where men can be saved. We ask you right now, bless the message tonight. Bless brother and his endeavor as he break the word of life, Lord. That we may see, we may see, we may feel, we may know, we may hope, and know without a shadow of a doubt the King of Kings is coming back to this earth to straighten it
amen.
Out. We just thank you.
Yes.
We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we go into the service this morning, this afternoon, we ask you right now, let your Holy Spirit be in our heart, in our mind, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's all
awesome, amen. That was awesome. Amen. Awesome prayer, Doctor. I thank you. The King is coming. Amen. For the saints, the King is coming. Hear me what I'm saying. For the saints.
Yeah.
Amen. For the saints.
Amen.
Christ is coming back to get the saints. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
But guess what? Amen. God, amen, is coming also, amen, to punish the sinners. Amen. God is going to punish the sinners. See, when Christ come back to get the church, punishment is going to start.
Yes, it is.
And we want to be prepared because so many people talk about so many things to do, so much they need to prepare for. Amen. And we believe that the time is drawing near, and we don't want to see nobody lost. Amen. We are praying so much, amen, for your salvation. We want you to come to this side. We want you to see the new heaven and the new earth. I was just telling my wife the other day about when we were leaving the hospital, I said, man, because, you know, we all just, you know, testifying to her, amen, just tears were just rolling down her eyes because I had told her, I said, that is three souls spared. Amen. See, God, amen, stepped in there. That was nothing to God because my wife had told me 3 months ago that they had the same thing happened to a man, but he had passed away. He was laying in the ground. He was thrown from the car, laying on the ground. She said they had just drove through there, and they was just covering up the body. I said, Lord,
Lord
have mercy. They saw the man laying dead in the ground, over there in the ground. And so we have to give God all the glory. We can't take
all the glory.
amen, for granted, because we don't know where life may end or how it may end. Death is everywhere, and this is what this and the reason that I have to share this testimony, because you know what, doctor, I've been looking at my Bible since 4 or 5 o'clock today, and man, when I tell you, I've been wrestling with the scriptures, and I was going to talk about the great Babylon, the Babylon that we've been talking about, Babylon, and you know, I said, man, I got some more studying to do before I present this. I don't want to just give anything. I want to make sure that I'm ready, because I got some more studying to do and some more facts. Make sure I have the facts straight before I present it before the people of God. Amen. Because that's how we do it. I mean, we just don't give God's people anything. It's just like a chef. When a chef cooks, man, he want to make sure that meal is perfect. He want to make sure that's going to be a meal you're going to remember when you walk away. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how I am with the word. Amen, doctor. That's how I am with the word. I don't believe in just giving God's people anything, but I give my best. Amen? And so I shared that scripture with you, and I shared my testimony with you to let you know that God loves us. See, because my mother-in-law is a saint, amen, been a saint for many years since I've known her, and you got to remember, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. God protects the children. This is why I was telling y'all that you don't need no gun. All these, you got folks that claim to be church people, people who claim that they believe in God, talk about, oh, but there's somebody breaking your house. So what's the Holy Spirit for? See,
come
here's
on
the
now.
Thing you have to consider. Amen. That what if you get caught without your gun? What if more than one person has a gun pulled on you? What if your gun? What they say when your gun lock up? What if your gun lock up? See, all this trust you putting in man-made junk, because that's all it is. You putting your trust in man-made stuff. That gun can fail you. Or better yet, you can get, as the young folks say, you can get caught slipping. If they get to draw you before you pull your gun, then what you going to do? If you outnumber, what you going to do? See, I'd rather rely on God who sits up on the throne that gets all power in his hand. And let me tell you something, man. Can't no devil in hell touch you if God say so.
Yes,
see,
sir.
Death
That's
has
right,
to stand
brother.
Back. Amen. You better know it. See, death has to stand back and behave yesterday morning. Because when my mother-in-law and them two grandkids went over the edge, man, let me tell you something. If you would have saw that, given her age, you would have known ain't no way in the world that they could have survived that, or she could have survived that.
You got that right.
With Lord God in heaven. That's why I tell people, what is your faith? These are supposed to be church-going people, God-fearing people, talking about you need a gun. God said, I've given you what? Not the spirit of fear. You don't need no weapon. Amen. God has already
prepared
the way. God knows everything. And you got all
everything.
These folks supposed to be believers out here running, doing all this, doing all that. Hey, you do you. If you feel like you need to carry that gun, you carry that gun. If you feel like you need that vaccine, go get the vaccine. But as for me, I'm going to trust God all day long. I don't know no other way. Because I know that God is what? Love. See, when God loves you and when you know that God loves you, man, look at here. You can walk through a line then. Amen. Now a line touch you. See, that was the thing. See, people don't have faith. Amen. So you think that Daniel would have had a weapon, that he would have been able to survive down the lines? That he didn't need no weapon. Amen. He didn't need that. Amen. The three Hebrew boys, they didn't need nothing. When they was in the fire, they didn't need nothing.
Yep.
See, we get so caught up in trusting man so much and man-made stuff that we just didn't forget. So we didn't got so modernized just so much into Satan's world, that we just begin to just lean on the devil. We trust the devil. I know preachers and pastors right now that got guns. They go to the shooting range. And I'm sitting there like, why are the preachers and pastors and ministers packing? Why are they going to the shooting range? Lord have mercy. Amen.
Come on.
I just believe that we should trust God, doctor. That's just me, man. Because say it's me, brother. It may just be me. But, amen, people talking about where was the top pull yoke. Man, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches us to walk with no fear, amen, because you know what? The Bible said that only man has the power to destroy the body, but God has the power to destroy the very soul. So it don't matter if man wants to destroy your body, amen, I'm still going to heaven. So who wins? Amen, which brings me to this point. Amen. I still win, but I want to share this scripture with you. I mean, because, and I have to share all this with you today, because again, when I was studying, I was just like, Lord, have mercy. I was like, man, I had the most difficult times. And it's like that sometimes. You study, you put hours into it, and you try to put the scriptures together, you try to interpret, and you have to pray to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it always comes together when you want it to. Amen. Lord may reveal this thing to me sometime this week or next week. That's just how it is, but I have to continue to study to show thyself approved. Amen. But I was struggling today. Amen. But I came across this scripture. And, Doctor, when I say this amazed me, amen, and I know you're probably familiar with it, but this is the first time I've ever seen this, amen, but I want to share it with you all. And I want to share with y'all what I believe this means, amen. And I know the doctor going to come along. He going to clarify. But I just want to share amen. Now, this is coming from the book of Isaiah, and this is Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Amen. Amen. So let me start out. I want to read some more, but I don't want to take up too much of the doctor's time. Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
So I may come back and read that part, but I want to read this right again. I'm just going to start at verse 16 down to 21. This is, again, Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verses 16 through 21. It says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee, poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pains, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Amen. That sounds like us, doctor. That sounds like the saints. That sounds like the children of Israel. I'm just telling you what it sounds like to me. Amen. Now watch this. It says, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now watch what it says in verse 19. Now verse 19, 20, and 21 really caught my attention. It says, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise, awake and sing.
Come on.
Ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come,
my
enter into thy chambers, Lord have mercy, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment. Doctor, you know where I'm going with this. The time is near until the indignation be overpassed. Lord, have mercy. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Amen. Doctor, I'm just going to share with you what I feel like this means. This is talking about around the time of the Great Tribulation. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
And so, it says, hide thyself as it were for a little moment into thy indignation. But watch what it says in verse 19. Lord, have mercy. It says, thy dead men shall live. Doctor, don't you know if we fall tonight, Lord have mercy. He said that I shall live again. Amen. That means that when the trumpets blow, oh man, y'all playing out here in the world. He said when the trumpets blow, that my dead body shall arise, awake, Lord have mercy, and sing. Ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, as the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people. See, that's got to be the Lord. Enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. That sounds like Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10.
Yes, it is.
When it talks, let me go there and read that. Amen. Let me read what it said. Now, sometimes folks think you be playing. That's why I love to give them scripture so there won't be no confusion. Because the Bible said God is not the what author of confusion. Revelation 3 and 10. Amen, doctor. And I know you're going to come through and clean it up. Amen. But this is something that I just read and going through the Bible in the last few hours. Just says, Lord, have mercy. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my people, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. See, I keep telling folks that faith's not going to go through the great tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, watch this. I got to share something else. I go to the book of Thessalonians. I think doctor know where I'm going.
Now I know where you're going.
Let me go over to the book of Thessalonians. Amen. It's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Watch this. Now we know, and then I'm going to go over to Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 2, because it's over there too. We know that the Bible references two different resurrections. There's going to be a resurrection of the righteous. Amen. And it's going to be a resurrection of the sinners, those that do not believe. Amen, because Daniel said that some is going to rise to everlasting life. That's going to be us, doctor. The Bible says that we're going to be singing. Lord have mercy. Well, woo, I can't wait, doctor. The Bible says, see, God already know, because we're going to know when Christ raised, when that trumpet blew and Christ raised us from the dead, we're going to already know what it is, doctor. If we don't be here when he come back, amen, we might be one of the ones that's going to be here when he come back. But the Bible said, but it said over in Isaiah that he says that he's going to what? He says, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were a little more. Doctor, that sounds like we're going to be in heaven. That's what it sounds like to me. While this stuff is going on earth. Now, like I said, I know you're going to clean it up for me, but I'm just giving you, amen, what I got. Amen. But watch what it says, though, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. It says, but I would not have, this is Paul speaking. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep. We know when the Bible talks about the saints, it don't say the saints is dead. In most cases, in the New Testament, it talks about Paul refers to the saints as what? We are sleeping. Our soul is resting in the dust.
Yes.
Amen. It says that ye sorrow not. Watch this. Even as others which have no hope. He's talking about those that don't believe. We shouldn't sorrow as those that don't have, as the non-believers. But he said, before, if we believe that Yahshua, Jesus, died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep. Boy, look her here. And Yahshua, Jesus, will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, Yahweh, and the dead and Christ shall arise first. The Bible says that, doctor, if we don't see him, amen, if we're not here when he come back, the Bible says the saints that's going to rise going to be singing, Lord, have mercy. Joy.
Good God.
The Bible talks about weeping may endure for a night, but what cometh in the morning? Joy.
Yes, sir.
Cometh in the morning. And I got some more. I ain't through, doctor. I got some more verses to share with you. Amen. But I want to show the saints that, man, you are in security. Don't you know that God is security? Don't you know that because my mother-in-law, see that wasn't just by coincidence. You know, scientists and you know, doctors and folks like that, oh, that was just luck. They love to throw that at you. Oh, that just happens sometimes. No. See, those of us that believe, we know that wasn't by coincidence. We know that there's a God in heaven that's set up on the throne, amen, that sits high, as my daddy and my grandmother and my mama used to say, and he looks low, and he knows all things. Amen. He had already sent them ahead of time. The Holy Spirit is everywhere.
All right. All
amen.
Right.
God is security. All right. God covers us. Amen. Wherever we go, I can walk up and down the street, and God is my security. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, you better not. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit that said, you better not try. Amen. Not with my
amen.
Child. Amen. God protects his children. You better know who you are. Brother, we say, amen. I tell them, Brother Harvey, I'm a king's kid. Amen. You better not mess with me. I don't care what you got or who you know. You better not mess with me. Amen. I ain't got to lift a finger. I ain't got to say one word. Amen. Because we are covered in the blood. And one thing I know, the Bible says he never seen the righteous forsaken. And says, touch not my anointed and what? Do my prophet no harm.
No harm.
Man, you don't play with God's children, amen. You find somebody else to play with, amen. You go out there and you play marbles, amen. You play games, you play basketball, but you don't play with God's kids, amen. Amen. But I want to share
amen.
That with you. I got some more. Amen. I want to first verse, reading verse 17 and 18, because we already know this scripture, but I got to share it with you. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Wherefore,
yeah.
comfort one another with these words. If you look at verse 17, you know that is not referencing Christ coming back to the earth. This is how we know that when Paul was prophesying about this, as he was over in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 through 53, he was talking about a specific time that was going to happen, that the church was going to be gathered together, and God was going to take the church, the church that was alive and remained, was going to be caught up out of the earth. Because the earth was going to be seriously disturbed. See, the earthquake is going to crack open. Amen. The earth is going to be split open. There's going to be so much damage done to the earth during the Great Tribulation. That's why the saints will not fear. Even the deceased saints. See, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Even the deceased saints' graves won't be disturbed because they won't be there. God is going to take the saints out of the earth, the ones that are deceased in the earth. Those bones are going to come together, amen, in the moment, Paul said, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to share something else with you. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I had a bookmark earlier. Like I said, I was just running through doing some reading. I was just in shock to see that. But let me see if I can find that other verse. Amen. If not, I know where to go. It's going to come from Isaiah, the 54th chapter.
All
and we're
right.
going to go over to verses 7 and 8. I want to share with you what it says, amen, because I'm excited to find this, amen. I know the brother going to come through and clean it up, but amen. But that's what it looked like it's saying to me, amen, but I know you're going to come through. But I just had to share that
come
because,
yeah.
again, what happened yesterday reminded me how God loves his children so much that God is not going to punish us with the non-believers. That doesn't make any sense. We will not go through the Great Tribulation. God is going to take us out of this world. He's not going to put us in the earth. I heard somebody say something about we're going to be in the earth. I don't know where that came from. I said, well, God already took paradise to heaven. So I don't know where we would go in the earth, where we would be if paradise is already in heaven. So, amen. But we know that we're going to be gathered together in the air to meet Christ. Amen. Now watch what it says, Isaiah 54, chapter, verse 7. Watch this. Now it says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, said the Lord, thy Redeemer. God
yes.
loves Israel. God loves the church. That's what the church is. We're all Israel. We're the Old Testament and the New. God loves us. God's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to put no more on us than we could bear. God is going to come back. He's going to send his son to come back and get the saints. Amen. And we're going to be what?
Yes, sir.
Bible said we're going to be forever be with Christ. That is such a blessing, amen, to be able to know that you're going to be in comfort. We should come. That's why Paul said it best. Did he not? He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Yeah.
Now, why would Paul, now, would it make any sense for Paul to tell us to comfort one another, knowing that we're going through the great tribulation? That, to
come
me,
on.
That wouldn't make any sense. The worst time on the planet, okay, hear me out, the worst time, and especially the last 3.5 years, that's going to be the time of God's wrath, the day of the law. He's going to really lay into the non-believers. He's going to really punish them. Judgments and punishments. And now, the church is going to be here? No, the church has already went through 2,000 years of tribulation. We've already went through enough. Amen. We've been through enough pain and suffering and turmoil. We've been murdered and killed and maimed. The church has already been through it. So, no, the church will not go through the great tribulation. Amen. So,
amen.
I want to show one more verse. Amen for you, doctor. Amen. I want to go over, I think it's 2 Corinthians. Amen. And this is a very, this is a popular verse. Amen. Let's see if I can find 2 Corinthians. I believe it's the 4th chapter. If not, I'll find it. 2 Corinthians, 4th chapter, verse 17. There's a guy right there in the notes. 2 Corinthians 4. This is what it says. Amen. In fact, let me read verse 16, and then I'm going to go down. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Meaning that all this that we're going through, and that's what I was reading over in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, all that we're going through as the children of God, when we get to heaven, and man, heaven is going to be more advanced than the stuff that we got here. We think heaven's going to be something that's going to be like, no, heaven's going to be something that you, Paul said, we can't imagine what heaven's going to be.
No.
Streets of gold. And man, all this pain and suffering that the church is going through, that Israel went through, when we get to heaven, we're going to say, man, this was worth all that we went through. All the
pain,
all the stuff
that
we went through. It's like a woman giving birth to a child. That's the only thing I can think of when I read this. I think about my wife when she was giving birth. And, you know, now the last child she had was, for some reason, she was easy. My daughter was easy. But the boys, doctor, man, they gave her a rough time. They gave her a rough time, doctor. And so I remember her giving birth, how she was in so much pain. And I can imagine, I know that women, all women say, man, that's some pain that you don't want to go through. Because she went through it naturally. And after she had it, as she had the babies, it was like she was never in pain. She was happy. She was joy to give birth to beautiful children. And then, man, that's all that I could think of when I was just reading this scripture. I said, man, the pain that women go through, but, man, after they have that baby, it's like they was never in pain. It's like the babies just take away the pain and see those beautiful faces. And to hold that child.
Sir.
They'd be so happy. That's how we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be like, man, this was the best decision that any man or woman can make. Or child to receive God. Amen. Is to receive salvation. That is the best decision. Amen.
Yes,
go ahead,
sir.
Doctor. Amen. I'm sorry about that.
All right, doctor, you took the hammer and hit the nail on the head. Amen. Because what you're saying is exactly what Isaiah was referring to. Referring to in the Old Testament, the tribulation period, in which the world will be judged, all the wicked that's left here, plus the judgment that's going to come. God's going to give the last 7 years to Israel, the Jews.
Yes.
Amen. They are going to be the ministers of the gospel of the kingdom in that last 7 years. The 7 years is almost getting ready to occur according to Scripture, according to the signs of the times, according to what's going on in the world today. There's not too much time left, because we are definitely absolutely living in the very last generation, in which this generation started in 1948. This generation will end in 2030. That's 80 years. That's 80 years, a full generation. And Jesus Christ said these things will be fulfilled before the 80 years are up. Before what? The 80 years are up. And the 80 years will be up at 2030. 2022 is now. And 2022 is going to be a year, year that's going to convince a lot of false prophets. It's going to convince a lot of church folks. It's going to convince a lot of unbelievers. It's going to shock the world.
Come on,
Doctor. Shock what's coming up in 2022. Because 2022 gives you exactly 7 years before 2030. So 2022 is a key year of what? The 2022 is a key year that the rapture may occur.
Come
a lot of people thought it was going to be 2021, but 2022 puts you at the end of the tribulation period, 2030. 2030 is a full number, because 30 is a very important number in the Bible. Jesus Christ was 30 when he started his ministry. To tell me the high priest in the Old Testament had to be 30 years old before he become a priest. So 30 is a very specific number in which God himself is coming to a full fulfillment, because the 7 last years of the tribulation period is right on key. You say, why? How did that happen, please? Number one, the biggest sign and the unique sign that's going to be revealed in 2022 is Israel. Come on now. Israel will be planning to rebuild the temple. Israel will be planning to restart the old sacrificial offering that was done in the Old Testament, because the Jews are back in their land, and they are back in their land for the first time since what?
Yeah.
1948. From 1948 to 2017 is 70 years. 70 years is fulfilled, and Israel is back in the land, and they are planning to reestablish the old sacrificial offering. But that will not do no good for salvation, because salvation no longer is dependent upon the blood of goats and turtle doves and lambs, because when Jesus Christ died, He eliminated the blood sacrifices that the Jews were doing in the Old Testament, because Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. What you talking about?
Yes.
I'm talking
Amen.
About Christ. Christ gave his life and died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And the church has been on this earth for approximately 2,000 years. We're going into the last millennium. And the children that's born today, the children that's going to be alive during the tribulation, will be the millennium. That those that go into the millennium will be the people that repopulate the earth. So we only got a short time. And now the world is saying to us, what about what Jesus said? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. What's going on, preacher? The Bible tells me sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 and 2. It said all sin results in judgment. Woo! Payoff. Payoff is death. The wages of sin is death. If you die your sins, your wages will be death. separated from God forever.
Amen.
And say the great white throne judgment, which is in Romans 1:24-32, 6:23 in Romans, Corinthians 6:9, Galatians 6:12, Revelation 21:8, and 22:15 provides a comprehensive picture of those who are damned. Uh-oh, what you talking about? I said a bad word. No, I didn't. The Bible says, blessed is the man that repent and be baptized, he shall be saved. The man that believeth not shall be damned. Those that reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will damn their own souls to hell because they refuse to turn to Christ. Christ is the only restitution. He's the only propitiation. He's the only advocate. He's the only high priest. He's the only hope. He's the only joy. He's the only one that was crucified, died, and rose again. And so through
Amen.
That, man can be saved. But this is what man's doing. Man says, I ain't worried about that. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? There were men who rejected the ark that Noah built. They laughed at it. They joked about it. They told him, well, it's supposed to rain, Noah. How come it's taking so long? And they tell me Noah kept on building the boat. He kept on preaching for 20 years. And let me tell you now, I've been preaching the gospel for 57 years, and he haven't came yet. Some people have been preaching it longer than that. Some people have been preaching it ever since the day of Pentecost. Saved Jesus and him crucified, died, and rose again. Down through 2,000 years, the gospel has been preached by the church of the living God. Men have been saved. Men have been redeemed. Men have come to Christ, and they're still coming. But the church age is almost over. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I say the church almost over. Why? Because old Apostle Paul said, in the last day, perilous times shall come. What you talking about? I'm talking about in the last day, the Apostle Paul said, unbelievers. What is an unbeliever? An unbeliever are those who do not believe in the receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievers now.
That's right.
The abominable. The abominables are those who engage in wicked practices. Wicked practices. So wicked that it would be an embarrassing thing for a dog to look upon. It's so embarrassing what men are doing today. We got whoremongers. Those who engage in fornication and consorts in prostitution, Ephesians 5:5-8. Sorcerers, those who practice witchcraft, demonism, and follow after the occult. Sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means enchanting with drugs. And now we live in a drug-infested society. Men are buying drugs.
Now.
They're selling drugs. They're killing for drugs. Why? Because drugs have a tendency to open up the soul gate. And the more drugs that you engage in, it opens up the soul gate. And when you open up the soul gate, Satan is able to enter in to your spirit and to your soul and take possession of you. And that's why you got a whole lot of killing today. You got a whole lot of murder today. You got a whole lot of whoremongers today. You got a whole lot of idolaters today who worship and reverence anyone, anything other than the true and living God. We got professional liars. We got dogs who are professional professors. We got homosexuals that's taking over our society. We got men going with men. We got women going with women. We got young people being invested in child pornography. We got unrighteous who trust in self, works, and false religious system. And we got fornicators. We got wicked people who discard the morality and the moral standards. We got covetousness. We got those who desire all things for themselves, especially those that belong to others. We got maliciousness. We got envious. We got debaters. We got malignators. We got whisperers. We got backbiters. We got haters of God. We got despisers. We got proud. We got boasters. We got men inventing evil things. Good God Almighty. This is what kind of world we're living in. And since we're living in this kind of world, God is long-suffering, and he's trying to hold out so nobody would perish. And we got disobedient to parents. We got impassible. We got the unmerciful. We got the adulterers. We got the infeminate. We got thieves. We got drunkards. We got revilers, and we got extortioners. These are the wicked times as the days of Noah. And the only thing in the days of Noah, and from the different the time that we're living in now, the Noah was a deliverance by an ark. Good God Almighty, the only way men could escape the flood was to get on the ark. And they didn't get on. And by them not getting on, the Bible said the whole world was flooded by water, because water came down out of heaven and water came up out of the earth. And the Lord let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. It rained. The God Almighty didn't rain. It rained on a Monday and Tuesday. It rained on a Wednesday. It rained on a Thursday. And it rained on a Friday and Saturday. And it rained on Sunday. It rained until in the modern age that we're living in. There was a songwriter back in the 60s. He said, "I feel raindrops falling on my head." Good God Almighty. Well, this time when the Lord come back from heaven, when the Lord bring judgment upon the world, they tell me this time is not going to be rain. It's going to be what? Fire! Fire is going to rain down out of heaven. It's going to rain until men going to run into the mountains and hills to hide from the judgment of the living God. And guess what? It's going to start raining only during the time of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is getting ready. We got volcanoes. We got over 35 volcanoes right now that's active all over the world. They're spitting out fire and brimstone. They're spitting up ash. And men are being moved out of their living the bold place, and they don't know where to go. But Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes." And a lot of people say, like a lot of people believe, that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. But my friend, I'm telling you, you're wrong. The church does not go through the tribulation period, because the church and the tribulation period is a different era. The tribulation period was for the Jewish people. And to tell me the 2,000 years was for the church to do the work of spreading the gospel around the world. And now the gospel has been spread, and we're living in the church age of Laodicea. We're living in a lukewarm, hypocritical church age that we're living in, where men are going with men and women with women, and people are trading their wives for another wife. Amen. And young folks are killing themselves with drugs, and the homosexuals are growing by the minute. They call every minute a homosexual is coming forth, and you see it all over the TV. You see it in the streets. You see it in the corners. You see it in the church. You see it all over, and the world says, "What's going on? What's going on?" Well, they tell me demons are in activity around the world. They're the prince power there, and they're working 24/7. They're working on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they're destroying people's lives. But they tell me, too much longer. Not too much longer. Isaiah said in the 26th chapter, "We're going to hide you in the chambers." What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the church will be hidden in the chambers. Where's the chamber?
Yeah.
The chamber is when Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, descend from heaven with a shout, and the trumps of God just sound. Christ rise, and we will remain alive, shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. Where are we going?
Glory.
Revelation 4:1 says, John was on the Isle of the Patmos. Good God Almighty. And what I saw, he said in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, "As I was on the Isle of the Patmos, I was on the Patmos, and while I was on the Patmos," this was the last church age, Laodicea, and just before the church was raptured up, John said, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door opened, and the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was a trumpet, and it started talking with me, and said to me, 'Come up hither.'" Good God Almighty, what you mean, come up here? Oh, that means God called the church home. He said, "Come up here.
Yeah.
Come on up." You've been here long enough. You done your job. Come on up, and I will show you these things which must be here thereafter. And immediately, good God Almighty, in the twinkling of an eye, I was in the spirit. Good God Almighty, what you talking about, preacher, in the spirit? I thought you said you was in the spirit already. Well, I am in the spirit. I'm in the spirit in me. But when this John is talking about this, there's another transformation coming. Good God Almighty, Apostle Paul said, this mortal body, this old mortal body, this decrepit body that I have will be changed to immortality, and I will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And when I be changed, I'm going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And when I'm called up to meet the Lord in the air, I'm going to go past the sun and the moon. I'm going to head on over there to Jupiter and Neptune. I'm going to go past Pluto and Uranus. I'm going to keep on going into the galaxies. I'm going to go past the black hole. I'm going to go past the quasars and the moon and the stars. I'm going on up to glory in the heaven, and I'm going to meet Jesus. I'm going to meet the Son of God. I'm going to meet the Rose of Sharon. I'm going to meet the Lily of the Valley. I'm going to meet Alpha and Omega. I'm going to meet the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to meet all three in one. I'm going to meet the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
I'm going to meet the one with nail prints on his hand and in his feet. I'm going to meet him. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to meet him. And the only way I'm going to meet him, I tell you what happened to me. I stopped by Calvary's cross and laid down my soul before the Lord Jesus Christ and told him to come on in. And when he came on in, I had a change come over my life. And when he changed me, he picked me up. Mm-hmm. And turn me around and plant my feet on solid ground. And now I got my new body. And when I get my new body, and this body going to be out of sight, brother, this body is going to embarrass the spacesuits that NASA has built to go past the moon and get on the moon. When this body I'm got is going to be just like Jesus, just like Jesus. My body is going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to have a spiritual body. I'm not going to have a blood system. I'm not going to have a heart. I'm not going to have what? Because I'm going to be all spirit. I'm going to be spirit, spirit, spirit. Because this flesh and blood will never enter the kingdom of God. I can't go to heaven in this body. Why? Because I got blood in me. Why? Because I'm flesh. Why? Because let me tell you, this old body, amen, is a wretched body. This body is sinful, but this body is under control now because the Holy Ghost is my sustainer. The Holy Ghost is my hope. The Holy Ghost is my superintendent. The Holy Ghost is the one that's able to live inside of me, and I'm filled with it. Amen. People need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. People need to quit. Church folks need to quit playing around with God and quit being hypocritical, because when that trumpet blows, it's going to be all over. It's going to be all over for the earth. The earth is going to fall under the seven-year tribulation. And don't you let nobody fool you, brother. Let me tell you, the Antichrist is alive right now. I mean, capital N. O.W. He is alive, and he is waiting for the proper moment for him to come. And according to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, the whole chapter, there are exactly seven feast days that the Lord has instituted in the Old Testament. And these Old Testament feast days represent the seven feast days that the Lord has fulfilled, and the world is asking, how many are there? There are seven feast days, and there has been four of them has been fulfilled. What are they, preacher? They are the Passover, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the unleavened bread, the death of Jesus Christ. Unleavened bread means in a sinless Christ was sinless, and he was called unleavened bread. And unleavened bread means that he was sinless, because if it was leavened bread, it would have yeast in it, and yeast represents sin. So he was a sinless sacrifice. That feast day has been fulfilled. The next feast day is first fruits. First fruits represent resurrection. It has been fulfilled. On the day that Jesus Christ died, 3 days later, he was resurrected. That has been fulfilled. God is on time, honey. God ain't playing. God is using the Jew for his timepiece. And the world is not respecting the Jewish people. But God said, the Jewish people are my chosen people, and I'm going to use them in the last days. And he's getting ready to use the Jews in the last days for the last time to witness to the world. What's the next feast day? The next feast day was the day of Pentecost. That was the birth of the church. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying the day of Pentecost was the birth of the newborn, firstborn church of the living God. That's when Jesus told the disciples to go back down to Jerusalem after he had been up on the earth on 40 days and 40 nights. He told the disciples to go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, for he's going to send you some power. I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. I'm talking about sanctified power. I'm talking about justifying power. I'm talking about power to save men from sin. Power to put the love of God in your heart. Power to walk and tread under the servant of the old devil. And the church has been on, listen, the church has been on this earth for 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years is up almost. The 2,000 years started with the church of Ephesus, the church of backsliding, the church of Smyrna, the suffering church, the church of Pergamos, the church that compromised, the church of Taqara, the church of what? The church of marriage, because that's when the world married the church and it became corrupt. And then the church of Sodom, which means Protestant, which means protest. That's when the Protestants broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. And now these Protestants are falling in to the Roman Catholic ideal and doctrines of devils. And then you got the Church of Philadelphia, and that's the Church of Brotherly Love. And then you got the Church of Laodicea, the last church age. So the church age has been here for 2,000 years. And the next feast day will fall in September. This year will be the sixth feast. That'll be the fifth feast day. Will be the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpets represent rapture. Oh, come on, y'all. Listen to what I'm saying. A trumpet represents rapture because a trumpet is a warning. A trumpet shall be blown in Zion. A trumpet says, awake out of the sleep. Blow ye trumpet in Zion. And that is the time in which the church could be raptured up. But I can tell you not what day. I can tell you not what minute. I can tell you not what second. But I can tell you this. It is in the month of September, because God is a time-keeping God. He ain't never missed a minute or second. And he's going to remove the church. I'm talking about the born-again believer, baptized, Holy Ghost hammer-driving saints of God that's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what that means when Isaiah was saying in the 26th chapter, I'm going to hide my body for a period of a moment. I'm going to hide them behind the clouds in the heavens, and I'm going to judge the church. The 7 years is for the judgment on the church, and the 7 years is for the judgment on the population on the earth. And the Jews, after the church has been gone, God Almighty, you hear what I say? I say God Almighty is going to send the Jewish people to preach the gospel for the last 7 years, and it's going to be hell. Hell on earth. for those that are left here. And you don't want to be left here. My friends, you don't want to be left here on this planet. Why? Because number one, the devil will take control of the last 7 years with 144,000 preaching the gospel and the two witnesses preaching the gospel for a period of 7 years. And then Christ is going to come back with the church to judge the world in righteousness. And he will meet at a battle called Armageddon. And Armageddon will be fought over there in the valley of Megiddo. And they tell me the blood is going to be so high, up to a horse rider for the period and the area of 200 square miles. Blood is going to be in the valley of Megiddo. And God will send his son, and he will walk down to the valley of Megiddo, and his garment will be dyed in the blood of men. His skirt will drag through the blood at the battle of Armageddon. And that battle will be the battle of all armies, all wicked armies, through the Luciferians, through the Illuminatis, through all the secret society, through all the occults, through all the Baphomets, through all the behavioral growth, through all the demons and devils that have control of mankind. They will meet the Lord Jesus Christ on coming on a white horse. A white horse represents victory for Jesus Christ, and he's coming back with the saints of God. My friends, that's the Bible. That's the B-I-B-L-E, and that's the book from me. And if it's not the book from you, if it's not, it's not for those that don't want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. You don't have to believe it. You can go ahead and live your life and leave Christ out of your life and do what you want to do. But I guarantee you, if you leave this world without Christ in your life, hell will be your home. You will be lost for eternity. And I don't want to see nobody. Nobody to go to hell. Brother, I didn't take too much of your time, did I? Hell will be a place of regret, a place in which men will recognize that they have been a big fool for not receiving the Lord and Savior. Brother, you can have them, man. Go ahead and work with that. That's the time. And that's the time when Christ will literally touch Mount of Olives. He's coming back to Mount of Olives. That's where he's coming. And when he comes back, he's coming back with the church. I mean, right. You talking about a church. He's coming back with the blood-washed saints of Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will not be there. Let me tell you, whoever's out there listening to me, man, I tell you, this is the word of God. Believe me, this is the word of God. Amen. Why? Because when we come back, we are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. We are going to be happy, happy, joyful, everlasting life, love, peace, animal people will be trained, no more war. No more killing, no more Black Lives Matter, no more marches, no more racial disgrace, no more racial prejudice, no more racial. Oh, man, you talking about living. You talking about living. You ain't live nothing until you come to Christ. And then you will start living. Because this Christ, what he did on Calvary, is the only way a man can live with Jesus Christ. Called no sin, and I'm going to turn it over to the brother. No sin. Do you hear what I said? No sin. There ain't going to be no racial marching and sign black water fountain and a white water fountain. There ain't going to be no east side, north side. There ain't going to be no alleys and tin cans. There ain't going to be nobody looking over everybody else and downing people. There ain't going to be no beer joint, no whorehouses. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Ain't gonna be no drug addicts. There ain't gonna be no jail. There ain't gonna be no prison. There ain't gonna be no messed up marriages. Woo! And God is gonna rule and reign forever. In the strength of God, we'll rule and reign with Christ, and we will live on out to eternity. And as I close, I'm gonna give it to the brother because I know I don't want him to leave now, but if he got to go, I want him to come on with back this up. Amen. And at the end of the millennium reign,
yes,
the most awful spot in human history. It won't be nothing like it. Oh, my God. It will be a place where the universe will move back on the edge of eternity. And God is going to make room to call all the wicked dead.
Amen.
All the witches, and all the homosexuals, and all the liars, and all the backbiters, and all the whole whoremongers, and all racial prejudice. They're going to raise them all from the dead. And they're going to stand in the middle of eternity. Yeah. And they're going to be spread out, and they're going to look like a sea of water. And the great white throne will be so bright that nobody will be able to look at it. They have every wicked person will have their head down. And they will know where they are. They will see people from miles and miles and miles stretched out over the heavenly eternity. And the Lord God Almighty, through his son Jesus Christ, will open the books of human being that's raised from the dead, that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible say, I didn't say it. I didn't make this up.
Amen.
I didn't go to school this up. I didn't see this in Jet Magazine. I didn't see this in a penthouse. I didn't see this in Playboy. You won't find this in Playboy. You won't find it in no book but the Word of God. And when they open the book, those names that was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says, here we go again, the Bible says, all the names that was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're all A-L-L.
Right.
Cast into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. There will be football players there. There will be tennis players there. There will be great swimmers there. There will be great athletes there. There will be mailmen there. There will be pretty women there. There will be ugly women there. There will be white women there. There will be black women there. There will be Jewish women there.
Yes.
I mean, there will be a host of people that will be cast in by angelic beings, by holy angels. They will pick up and shove them into the lake of fire where the devil and his angels are already there.
Yes.
And cast in, nobody, no wicked person will actually walk into hell. Nobody won't be running. They're going to have to shove them in there because they're going to be a resistance. Because hell is hard. I don't care how much you talk about hell. I don't care how much you laugh and joke and clown around and tell your friend, oh, man, that ain't no such. They sound like a bunch of clowns hanging on a vine trying to explain to me. But the Bible said, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. White women, black women, Chinese women, Russian women. Men, oh man, all kinds of people. Why? Because they refused the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And they said, now we are the biggest fool in the whole universe. We were fools because we thought, and the devil deceived every one of them. And they were what? They would be gnashing and gashing of teeth. And my friend, don't go. Because if you go, you can't take no suitcase with you. You can't take your girlfriend with you. You can't take your automobile with you. You can't take your beer parlor with you. You can't take your alcohol with you. You ain't taking nothing with you if you go to hell. The only thing that you can get that you're going to go to hell with is, number one, you're going to go with your memory, because you're going to remember every moment that you could accept Jesus Christ. You're going to have your eyeballs, and you're going to see where exactly you traded your soul to serve the devil than Christ. And then you're going to hear wailing and gnashing of teeth with your ears. And then you're going to smell what hell smells like. It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Yes, Lord.
You're walling in every low-down, dirty, immoral act that you thought. You're going to walk in that mess for the rest of your life, and you're going to burn it. He taught you. Why? Because you told Jesus Christ, look, you can take this cross and shut it. You can take your birth, death, and resurrection and shut it. I don't need it. And guess what? When you get down there, you're going to wish that you never was born.
That's right.
But
amen.
It's too late. You're going to wish that you would have listened to those preachers that was on internet. You're going to wish, but don't go. You can accept Jesus Christ now. Right now, you can accept him. Because if you die before the rapture, and you don't know Christ, you're going to be lost forever. And if you die after the rapture, accept the mark of the beast. If you refuse the mark of the beast, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And after the rapture of the church, there's going to be a great host of tribulation saints that will accept Jesus Christ through the preaching of the 144,000 and through the preaching of Moses and Elijah. God is going his last leg, and he's going to send three angels to go around the world. Good God Almighty. And they are going to say, whoa, 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 into the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down. Receive not the mark of the beast, for if you receive it, you shall drink the wine of wine press, and you shall be tortured, and sores will break out on you. My God, don't go to hell. Please don't. Tell your friends, man. Ask your friends, wherever you are, man, do you want to go to hell? Man, you'll tell you, no, man, I don't want to go. You got some. It's foolish to say they don't want to go. But I'm telling you, like, you don't want to go. Christ loves you so much. Christ don't want to put nobody in hell. He loves you so
Amen.
Much. You need to come to Christ tonight. You need to come to Christ tonight, because tomorrow is not promised to you. Let me tell you who's dying today. Young folks are dying like flies. They're dying faster than your old folks. People are being killed, murdered. People are being raped. People are being drugged. People are being men are cutting up women and putting them in barrels. And people are eating cannibalism right now. You don't hear nothing about it, but it's happening. And it's going to happen worse during the tribulation period, because they tell me the food is running out. The water is running out. They tell me all the necessity for man to live on this planet is running out, and it's going to run out quicker when the tribulation period comes, because God says time for judgment. Somebody out there that's listening to me tonight need to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Going to church is not going to do it. Working in the church is not going to do it. Shaking the preacher's hand is not going to do it. Wearing fine clothes and having a good time, it ain't going to do it. You got to come to Christ if you expect to keep the damnations of hell. Jesus Christ warned us about hell 70 times in the New Testament. Out of 162 times hell was mentioned, Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what hell is like. Talk to the rich man in Lazarus. You'll get your answer. It's a place that you don't want to go. Maybe somebody want to come to Jesus right now. Come to him. Repent. Turn from your sins. Turn from your lying, cheating, backbiting, and unbelief. Turn from it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It's not a hard thing to do if you want to be. If you think you're going to miss something, amen, by accepting Jesus Christ, you're living in dangerous ground. Make up your mind. Brother, go ahead. I didn't mean to take that time up, but go ahead.
Amen, doctor. Amen. Good word. Good word. Amen. The new heaven, amen, will be our home. The new heaven, the new earth. We highly encourage you to receive salvation. Salvation is free. God loves you. We love you. Amen. And we just want you to receive salvation. Amen.
That's it.
What does Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 1 say? Amen. What did John say? Let me go down and read it. Amen. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This has been on my heart all week long. Amen. We're going to get to witness such a beautiful heaven. Man, nothing can come into it. Paul said it best. Paul said, I hadn't seen. In other words, you've seen nothing like it with your eyes visually. You think the stuff they show you on TV, the stuff that you read in books, that is nothing compared to where we're going to live for all eternity. This
all
be
eternity.
Amen. He said,
amen,
I had seen, ear hadn't heard. Amen. There's going to be sounds in heaven. Beautiful. Man, you think the music that we listening to now, oh, you think that's
you
music?
Think up, huh?
You think, man, look at here. God is the creator of all things. And, man, let me tell you, can't nobody make music like God. God can make the most beautiful sounds that your soul will ever, ever hear, that you will ever endure. We're going to get to have joy, and we're going to sing a new song. We're going to be singing and shout and glorify, amen. Praise
amen.
God for all eternity. Brother, I know you can't wait. I definitely can't wait. Amen.
I know what you mean.
God can't wait. Amen. I long for heaven. I know that God loves me. Amen. And he loves the children of God. He loves everybody. He loves the lost. He loves the man that has not yet been saved. He loves the sinner. He loves them so much that he's prolonging the return of Christ. But all people say, oh, Christ ain't coming back. When he coming back? The reason that he ain't came back is because he's waiting on you to get it right. He's giving you an opportunity. And there are so many people, the last 20 seconds ago, the last hour ago, yesterday, last year, wish they had gotten right before they left this world.
Ooh,
amen.
Lord, have mercy.
They wish they had gotten right. Because once you leave this world, and you don't have, your soul doesn't have the blood of Christ covering you, covering your sins. Lord have mercy, your soul is lost for all eternity.
Right.
And there's going to be two resurrections. The resurrection of the lost is going to be after Satan, amen, is going to be cast. Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen.
Yes.
Him and the fallen angels. They're going to go first. They're going to sit right, because who's going to go first? Is the beast and the false prophet. Amen.
Yes,
they're going to go be cast to the lake of fire. And then the devil, amen, the fallen angels are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Then after that, judgment is going to start for the lost. We don't want you to be lost. Man, if you miss this opportunity, Lord, I guarantee you're going to regret it for all eternity. Amen. You're going to regret it. But we just want you to become saved. Amen. Revelation,
amen.
The 21st chapter, introduces us to our new home. Amen. In heaven, it's going to be beautiful. Streets of gold. Amen. This is going to be the area above the earth. Amen. And,
amen,
man, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't say enough. Amen. It's going to be clean, brand new.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. The new earth is going to be like the Garden of Eden, but it's going to be like the Garden of Eden in its original form before man fell. It's going to be beautiful. Amen. Beautiful. All the redeemed of God is going to be there. And remember what Christ said. What did Christ say? I think it was John the 14th chapter, verse 1-4. He said, let not your heart be what? Troubled. Christ said this to us. Man, God gives us so much comfort in knowing that, hey, one day you're not going to have to get up and deal with this world. You're not going to have to deal with this life, the pain, the suffering, the hate, the hurt. I know so many of you out there that's just tired of this world. Hey, it's about to be over with. Joy, the Bible says what? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy
comes in the morning.
In the morning. And Lord have mercy, we can't wait for those trumpets to blow. Man, heaven is going to be so lush and beautiful. You think I tell people all the time, the two most beautiful things to me in this life on this earth is the pretty green grass and the trees that God has made and the pretty blue sky. Man, I could not ever get enough of looking at the sky or looking at the pretty green grass. I think it's so beautiful what God has done. But, man, can you imagine what the new earth is going to be like, the new heaven? Amen. New creatures, there may be new creatures. I'm just saying. But it's going to be so beautiful. And remember what he said. He said that Christ has been building mansions for us, not houses, not a home. He said mansions. Amen. Watch what he said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh, God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't that make you feel special? See, he loves you so much.
Right.
The devil's blinding everybody. Got y'all thinking
that
it's hard to get into heaven, and man, it's going to be so tedious to be in heaven. You got to do this and do that. Man, being in heaven is going to be easier than being on your job. I guarantee that. Heaven's going to be easier. Amen, Doc. Let me tell you how easy heaven's going to be. Heaven's going to be as easy as you breathing. You ain't going to even be thinking about praising. It's going to be so easy. You ain't going to have to think about praising God. It's going to be natural as you breathing. We don't think about breathing. Amen, Doctor. We just breathe. We don't think about, hey, I got to breathe. No, it's going to be a natural thing to you to praise God, to
give
him all the glory, all the praise, to worship him, to serve him. Oh, man, you're going to be happy. You're going to be ready to praise God. All that we done been through and all he done brought us out of. And then once you see all that he's going to reward you, the beautiful mansions, oh, man, you're going to say, God, this is for me. You love me this much. You did this for me. Amen. And so,
come on.
You mean you love me this much? Oh, my gosh. This is for me? Man, you see, look, let me tell you something. People have lost houses. They've had their houses foreclosed on. People have been homeless. People have lost their cars. Man, let me tell you right now. God said, I got something better than anything that you can imagine. He said, the first thing I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you eternal life.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. You mean I'll never die? No.
You'll never
have to fear death again. Christ said, I got the keys, Lord have mercy. He said this, he started out in Revelation 1, letting us know he got the keys to death and hell. In other words, he has all power, what? In his hand. He has all power in his hand. Amen. And so death has no power. Amen. Over Christ. Hell has no power. In other words, the second death. It has no power over Christ. He has all power in his hand. Amen. Ain't that beautiful to know that you would never have to fear death?
Amen.
Amen. You'll never have to fear death. You'll never have to fear. Watch this. Sickness. You don't have to deal with a cold, a sore throat, diabetes, high blood pressure, a heart attack, a stroke. the coronavirus, all these viruses on the
girl,
earth.
Come on,
we ain't got to worry about none of this mess no more. Folks lying to you. People stealing from you. You ain't got to worry about no car note, no house note. You ain't got to worry about no credit cards, no bills. You ain't got to even worry about going to that stinking job that you hate. Let's just keep it honest. Hey, man, you ain't got to worry about doing your job, lying to folks and deceiving people just to keep a job. You know you don't want to do it, but you got to do it just to keep a job. Because all these companies are wicked. Don't let nobody fool you. They all serve Satan. They're all wicked. Amen. If it ain't the church, all these
Come
companies
on.
Are wicked. They all out for money, greed. They lying to people, getting over on people, stealing from people. They say that these companies are ethical. These companies are not ethical. You got to deal with racism no more, police brutality,
Come on, preacher. No,
attorneys
no.
lying, judges lying, the government's lying to you, the religious leaders lying to you, people in these false cults. Man, this stuff, Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass. In other words, the old ways, the satanic ways, earth is passed away.
Passed
the old
away.
Heaven is
Go.
Passed away.
Gone.
You don't have to worry about nobody trying to hurt you, trying to hit you. You ain't got to worry about dying. You ain't got to worry about nobody trying to kidnap you or harm you or do some bodily harm to you anymore. Man, I don't know about you, but this heaven, this new heaven, this new earth, sound like I want to. This is the place where I want to be. This sound like where I want to spend
Come
my
on,
eternity.
Now.
The Bible said
Come
that
on.
God said it's not going to be no need for a sun or a moon. Watch this.
Woo.
God said, I am so
Woo.
Powerful. Woo, my God.
He
oh, my
light
God,
with.
He is so powerful. Man, the light, he going to light up everything. His glory is so powerful. His face is going to shine Woo. Like an unnumberable amount of sun. Man, when I tell you, it's not going to be no darkness nowhere in heaven. It ain't gonna be so much as a shadow, my God. It ain't gonna be so much as a shadow in heaven. It'll be no darkness, no more.
No dark.
My God. What type of God do we serve? We serve this powerful God. And you mean to tell me you want to pass up this opportunity? And the greatest thing he gonna do for you is bless you to live forever? If you had surgery, you're going to be fixed. Paul said that over in 1 Corinthians. What did he say? He said that you're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Amen. I believe it was verse 52. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. In other words, what Paul has said, faster than you can blink, and faster than you can think, you're going to be changed into a new body. This is how powerful our God is, y'all. He going to bring us, he going to give us a brand new body. Man, you're going to look so good. All the stuff people trying to do, eat right and stay in the gym. Man, he going to give you a body that's going to blow that body away. That's going to be the greatest. That's the first thing he going to do for you. And that's going to be the greatest gift you're going to receive is a brand new body, eternal life that won't age. And then guess what? Then going to come your rewards. He's going to bless you with all kind of rewards. Amen.
Amen, brother.
And he said he's going to give you a mansion. He
a
said
mansion.
My father's house are many mansions.
Many.
My God. And so God said after the millennium, he said, man, I'm going to set you guys up for all eternity. This
all eternity.
All eternity. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The new Jerusalem is going to be beautiful. The glorified earth. And Christ will have his capital city for all eternity. For all his worshipers. Man, he's preparing a beautiful wedding gift for his bride. Amen. So this is going to be
amazing.
Man, you're not going to even believe. No more tears. You're going to have to cry no more. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. Amen. Let me read you what the scripture said. Amen. Let me go back over to Revelation. Amen. Revelation. Let's take a look at the 22nd chapter, because I love this portion of the Bible. Revelation 2, because you don't never hardly hear too many people talk about Revelation 21 and 22, because this is for the
saints.
Right.
You're right.
This is us. This is what God is doing for man. I mean, brother, you and I are the only pastors I've heard ever preach and teach from this portion of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. Nobody hardly ever touched it. Man, watch this. Let me give you a description. Revelation 21:11 says, having the glory of Yahweh of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Amen. Now watch that all this describes how beautiful heaven going to be, all the way down to the 27th verse. But I got to read Revelation the 22nd chapter. This is what I love. Watch this. This is what I love. Revelation 21:1 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, Lord have mercy, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, Lord have mercy, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, Lord have mercy, there it is, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Man, if that ain't your soul, that's just like one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible. Man, for all eternity, says forever. And man, you know what? It's funny because I remember when I was a kid, I used to like to watch The Wizard of Oz, and I used to think a lot of the Emerald City. Man, this is going to blow the Emerald City far away. You can't imagine what heaven's going to be.
No comparison, no contest.
Man, all you got to do, and I'm going to get ready to turn back on to the brother, but all you got to do to receive all this, he said, man, how can I sign up for this? Man, sign me up right now. How can I become saved? How can I not be an unbeliever? I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, man, my name is there. I want your
name
to be there. Man, Elder Bazaar's name is there. Amen. Man, there's so many. There's another scripture that I want to share, but for the sake of time, I'm going to have to come back and share that scripture with you because it's a beautiful scripture that talks about our name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I want to share with you tonight, how do you sign up? Romans, the 10th chapter.
Bless up, brother.
Amen. Verses 10 and 9. Amen. Let me go there real quick. You already knew where I was going with it. Amen. The plan of salvation, Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And this is how you become saved. Amen. And let me put this out there because I know so many people have been deceived. So many people have been lied to about salvation. When I was growing up, I always used to hear, amen, if you didn't do this, if you didn't do that, and do this, you ain't going to heaven. And you can't do this, you can't sin. And I said, you know what? The Holy Spirit showed me, amen, amen. The Lord has showed me that Romans 10:9-10 is the plan of salvation. The Bible says, not by works, amen, but it's by faith. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It didn't say without works it's impossible to please. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. You mean to sit there and tell me, man, if I'm a drunkard, come to God. Come as you are. If you a prostitute, come to God. If you selling drugs, come to God. If you a liar, a stealer, a cheat, a murderer, come to God. He'll clean you up. See, the saddest thing that people, the biggest mistake people make is that they got to get right to come to Christ. You can't get right. That ain't how it works. You have to come to Christ, amen, and because you become saved, now you can get right because you have to become saved first. Christ, God has to deliver you first, and once he delivers you, then the works. Then Paul said, I have to work out my own soul salvation, meaning that once I become saved, now I can get delivered from drinking. Now you can get delivered from prostitution. Now you can get delivered from whoremongering and lying and stealing and cheating. Whatever your sin is, he can now deliver you because you've given your life to him, and now the Holy Spirit now lives within you and will deliver you through love. Amen. Watch what it says in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Then I'm going to give it back to the brother. Then I'm going to say goodnight to y'all because I love each and every one of you. Brother, I love you. Man, we show nothing but love. Yes, sir, doctor. Yes, sir. We give nothing but love. We love everybody. If you're gay, if you're lesbian, like the brother said earlier, that's all you seeing. They are pushing that so much. So many people are coming out of the closet. So many people acknowledge that they get. This is the plan of the devil to take as many people's souls to the lake of fire. He wants to take it don't matter if you are gay or if you are a lesbian. I guarantee you, if you confess with your mouth tonight and believe in your heart, the Bible says that you will be saved. There ain't no shadow of a doubt. You will receive salvation, and the Holy Spirit will come into you and begin to deliver you from whatever sin that you are fighting against. Amen. Watch what it says. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahweh, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. I love God because God keeps things easy and simple. Only the devil has complicated. Satan has complicated things. God is not complicated. God is simple. Love is simple. How is love not simple? All you got to do is love thy neighbor. That's it. Now, how easy is that to love somebody? You got people who love animals more than they do another person, and that's sad.
Yeah.
The Bible says that how can you love the God that's in heaven whom you've not seen, and you claim that you love your brother that you see every day, but you can't love your neighbor. You can't love your brother. Amen. Watch what it says in verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. Lord, have mercy unto salvation. Watch what it says. I'm going to turn over to the brother. It says, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. You got to have the man of God to tell you about God and to lead you to salvation. It says, watch verse 15, says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Lord, have mercy. See, you got to have somebody who's sent by God to break down the word to tell you the truth. We're telling you the truth. Salvation is free. Salvation is simple. Salvation is easy. Amen. Now, is deliverance from sin easy? No, you got to, Paul said, you got to work on that. That's the only thing you got to work on is yourself. Paul said that you have to work out your own salvation. In other words, if you're addicted to smoking, you got to work on that yourself. God said, I've saved your soul. You're going to come to heaven with me. But you got to work on yourself and be a better person every day on this earth. That's why he allows us the time to still be here, because he wants us to become better before he what? Calls us home, because he wants you to receive as many spiritual gifts as you possibly can before he calls you home. He said, watch this, I'm going to be done. He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. God bless you all. I love you. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. The watchman on the wall, Elder Bazaar, is royalty. Amen. We appreciate the truth. We love each and every one of you. I'm fixing to shut it down and turn it back over to the brother. We don't want nobody to be lost. We love, and I have to stay on here with nothing but the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know I got to get up in the morning, but the Holy Spirit, amen, will give you rest. The Holy Spirit, when you want to shut it down, the Holy Spirit say, keep going. Amen. So I have to be obedient. I just want you to become saved. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I know the brother wants you to become saved. We sincerely want you to become saved. There are people dying right now. There's been somebody in the last 10 seconds that has died and left this earth. Amen. Do you know what the Bible says? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction.
Woo!
And narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. In other words, there are going to be so many souls entering to the place of Hades tonight. Lots of souls have been lost in the last 24 hours. Don't be one. We want you to become saved. We love you. We want to see you in heaven. It's just that simple. Don't let nobody else tell you different. You ain't got to wait to go to church. You ain't got to wait to sit before your pastor. You can receive salvation right now in the comfort of your home. Just quote these scriptures and talk to God. Say, God, I want to be saved. I want you to come and get me when the trumpets blow. Whether I'm in the dust of the earth, whether I'm standing on my feet or sleeping in my bed, I want you to come back and get me and save my soul and deliver me from the tribulation and deliver me from everlasting destruction.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Brother, I love you. You all have a good night.
I love you.
Yes, sir, doctor. Yes, sir. And we'll be back with you guys on the air with you guys. I'll be back Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and I'll be back on the air, be God's will, on this upcoming Sunday. Y'all, God bless you.
All
have a good night.
All right.
Love you too, doctor.
Amen.
Thank
God bless you, brother. Love you, man. Amen. We thank the Lord for that inspiring word on what it's going to be like, amen, when we get to heaven, and what does it take for you to receive Christ in your life. It's the easiest thing in the world. There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, if I only could just show you and pour it into you. Man, you don't want to miss heaven. Man, you miss heaven, you're going to be in a sad state. What Jesus done on Calvary, they mutilated him. They crucified him. They did him worse than any man ever been whipped on this planet. They laughed at him. They asked him, "Are you so powerful? Come down off the cross." They opened up his back with a cat and nine tail. They put nails down through his feet, speared him in his side, put a crown of thorns up on his head, beat his face. You hear what I said? They beat the Lord Jesus Christ's face beyond recognition. You wouldn't be able to identify him in a lineup, and you would believe what he looked like after the world, my God, after Satan and the world and mankind did to God Almighty, Son, his Son, God's Son, God himself in the flesh, merciful, kind, meek, and humble. Love everybody. Make no difference who they are, what they are, where they're coming from. He wants to save you right now. He wants to come into your life and change. Only thing you got to do is repent. Be sorry for being a sinner, being lost. Be sorry, for you have sinned against a holy, loving God. And he can't dwell with sin. He can't live with sin. He can't cope with sin. But so long, and he died so that he could save you from sin, that you could live with him forever, because you have accepted the shed blood that has the cleansing power to sanctify your soul forever. When Christ saves you, he saves you forever. He saved you. Why? Because he loves you. He wants to live with you. He wants to enjoy you forever. He wants to show you things that you have never seen before for the rest of eternity. And eternity don't run out. God will never end. God has no beginning, and God has no end. For he is the first, and he is the last. He don't need nobody to sustain him or keep him. He's a self-keeping God. He got self-power. He never will run out of power. He got everlasting power. And he can save a little old person like me overnight. He can save you tonight. Don't go to bed and you don't know who Christ is. You can call him in your sleep, and he can save you in your sleep. Yeah, he can. He can save you if you know what to do. And you know what to do because you have heard it. Repent with a godly, contrite, broken spirit. Your spirit is broken, and you are divinely sorry for serving against a holy, loving God after what all that he's done for you on Calvary's cross. For if there's no cross, there's no salvation. And if there's no salvation, there's no heaven. But thank God Almighty, he knew before the foundation of the world exactly what he would have to do. Because man, he knew man wasn't going to listen. But he provided an escape through his son, Jesus Christ, to come out of the clutches of the devil, because the devil don't care nothing about you. He wants you to be damned with him. He wants you to go to hell with him. He wants you to suffer like he's going to suffer. He wants you to be gnashing and grashing and gnashing and grashing your teeth just like he's going to be doing, because God is going to put the heat on him so bad the devil going to wish that he never was created, and he knows it, and he don't want you to enjoy what God has for you because he rejected what God has for him to do, and he will never receive it back. He is done forever. And he's going to come back on this earth. Lucifer, Satan, he's already on the earth now. He's in the principality of the air. And he's going to use this man of sin. This Antichrist is coming back. He's alive today. And the devil is going to impersonate him and incarnate him. And he's going to say that he is Jesus Christ, God's son. And he's going to give the Jews power and sign a peace treaty that they can rebuild the temple. And the Jews are going to believe that this is the true Messiah, when he will be the Antichrist. And later on, he will become the beast. And when he becomes the beast, he will rule the world in tyranny the last 3.5 years. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Why? Because that's the only way you can escape this beast. There's a mark incoming, the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, the marking of the beast will come, and men will be branded with a number and a mark on their forehead or either on their right hand. Their right hand will be a sign that they are paying allegiance and that they believe that this false Antichrist is Jesus Christ, when he will not be Jesus Christ. He will be the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-holy, anti-belligerent. And those that receive the mark will be damned forever through eternity. And those that refuse to mark will be beheaded by the Antichrist in the last part of the tribulation period. The guillotine will be back
on the market in the United States, continent, around the world, there will be beheading of great martyrism that will be brought forth in the last period of the tribulation period. It will be so bad that if you expect to survive, you will have to go into the hills and rocks and hide yourself from the Antichrist, because if he catches you, you will be dead meat. And you will find out that the United States will fall under the Antichrist, and the United States will accept the guillotine. The United States will accept the FEMA camps and the plastic coffins and the graveyards that they're going to dig, and they're going to use train cars to haul these people. It's going to happen in the United States. It's going to happen in the countries around the world. And the gospel will be preached for a full 7 years by the 144,000 and for the two witnesses. And three angels God will dispatch from heaven that will go completely around the world. Listen to me. Completely around the world. And they will say, listen what they will say. These angels will be the last message calling the two witnesses. In the 14th chapter of Revelation, and he said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel preached unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation, kindred, and tongues, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Third angel followed and saying into a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine and of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. My friends, that is the final warning to those that receive the mark of the beast. And this mark will be permanent once you get it in your body or on your forehead. You will be damned for eternity. Because this is why you're going. You don't want to go. But if you go, this is why you're going. You're going because you refuse to let Jesus Christ take the wrath of God. And the wrath of God fell upon Christ, and Christ took your wrath, and you reject Christ for taking your wrath, then you will have to suffer for your own sins. You will be suffering for your own sins. God will not put nobody in hell. The person that rejects Jesus Christ will put himself in hell because he, she, or whoever rejected the wonderful, merciful love of God through the crucifixion of the Lord and Jesus Christ. Ooh,